the book of Romans chapter 16 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 16. And I want to just read a couple of verses. Romans 16 and verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And that's as far as I'll read for sake of reading this 16th chapter, this salutation, this ending from the Apostle Paul. He said something about a couple of people here that I've been interested in. It's something I've been thinking about. I want to talk to you about this evening. In verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, a servant of the church. And that's what I want to talk to us about just a little bit, is serving in the church. Serving in the church, being a servant of the church. It's not just a deacon or a pastor that is a servant of the church. But it should be every saint of God that loves God. Amen. To be a servant of the church. I really believe with all my heart that if I'm being a servant of the church, that I am being a servant of Christ Himself. Right. We know the church is the body. We know that Christ is the head of the church. He commanded the apostle in Acts 20 and 28 to feed the church of God. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church is very precious.
Yes, sir.
The church is, if you want to say, there are a few things, let me say it this way, that are very precious on this earth. And the church is one of them. The Holy Spirit working in the church, He is another.
Yes, sir.
And God's Holy Word is another.
Amen.
Most precious. I can't begin to tell you just how precious that the church is. Just like the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about Him tonight, nor necessarily the words of God, but He works in the church, and the church is what it is because of the scriptures. We're all begotten by His word. What made us the church is the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We were saved by His word, by the drawing power of the Holy Spirit of God. The church is the only thing on the earth that has God's Holy Spirit and God's Word working in the midst of it.
Amen.
Working to draw sinners, working to grant salvation to those. I thought about this woman, Phoebe, our sister. I don't believe we was blood sister to Phoebe. I think he was talking about her as a sister in Christ. A sister in Christ. He said, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Mine and yours. That's our sister. That's our brother. How that we need to see one another in the church. There may be people that dread going to the place that they go. And I hope that nobody here feels that way. To dread church time or the house of God time. If it is, there's something a matter with the relationship in our own heart. We should be glad when it comes time to go to the house of the Lord. I know sometimes we work hard or we labor hard and physically we're tired. I know that. God knows that. And sometimes we think, I just can't hardly handle one more thing on my plate. But to think about being with God, listen, that's a place where you and I are going to find the spiritual strength that we need. Is at the church, among the church, at the church house, among the church, God's people. Yeah. There's much to be said about the church. I thought about a lot of what God had said about the church in Matthew 16 and 18. You remember when Jesus said, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. He's talking to Peter. And he said, and upon this rock will I build my church, the personal church of Jesus Christ. That's what this is. That's what this body is. We should never see one another apart from seeing one another as the personal church of Christ. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And it's on a good foundation. It's upon Christ the rock. We know that rock that he's talking about was not Peter. Peter's the little rock. Christ is the foundation stone of everything that we are. Amen? Listen, we are all standing on the same foundation. We have that foundation under us. The foundation that Christ laid. It was only laid by him. No other foundation can a man lay than that which is laid. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our foundation. He is our cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. The gates of hell, listen, are not going to prevail against the church. This is the one group of people that will not fall. Are you listening to me? God's people. God said, upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It cannot. If the church is operating the way that it should be. Listen, it's when we stray as sheep. That's when we get overtaken. That's when we can be overcome. But as long as we're together in what we're doing, the church, we come here, we bear one another's burdens, we lift one another up, we sing praise with one another, we worship our Savior, we encourage one another in the spiritual life. I feel like the further into the last days that we go, and I'm not saying is anyone here feels this way, but I see a lot of it. And when I talk to people, I hear it. The Christian life is, it seems like, not as revered as it one time was. It's almost as if people, they don't have no salt about them. To be thirsty, to be a child of God walking with the Lord. I mean, really continuing to strive to draw nigh to God, to see the church move forward. Every one of us
are servants in the church to help this church continue to move forward, to keep the lights on, to keep the doors open, to keep the saints of God lifted up and encouraged, to keep sinners walking through that door. You say, well, that's God's business. I know it's God's business, but he told us to go get them. Didn't he say it? Jesus told him when he was talking about his supper, he said, go bring in the blind, the lame, bring them all in that my house may be full. And I know that that is a picture of God saying those that were invited, the Jew, they were invited, but they had other things to do. So now the whole Gentile world, the blind, the lame, the crippled, all them that were reject away, listen, they have been invited to come to the Lord's Supper. They have been bid to the Lord's Supper. And now you and I, as Gentiles, are part of the church of the living God. Something glorious, something that had been a mystery from the foundation of the world. We are a part of that. We should never lose sight of that. How exciting that it is that God allowed me and you to be grafted in, to become part of the church, that the light of God actually shined to you and I. Showed us. Do you remember that time when the Spirit of God opened your eyes and let you know you needed to repent and believe the gospel? That you needed to be born again? And that time when you by faith accepted Christ, however that it was, wherever that it was, and you were made a new creature in Christ. We are servants of the church. We should not lose. Listen, there are people that lose a zeal about them. We can lose a zeal about us. Listen, if you do anything long enough, you can sometimes begin to feel like it's, I don't know the word that I'm trying to think of. You just, we begin to feel like we're just kind of going through the motion. We should never lose our zeal here at the Church of God. Amen. To continue flaming the fire.
Amen.
Amen. To remember our former days. To try to, raise those things that are almost dead in the society that we're living in. The old time way that many of us know about, that our younger generation knows little about. Why? Because they've not seen it in us. And I'm not bashing the church. No, I love the church. And I love God's people. But they need to see us worship the Lord again. They need to see us pray. They need to see us with the fire of God and the wind of the Holy Spirit moving upon us and moving in the church, working in the church. Saints of God testifying of the goodness of God and the blessings of God and how that God has come through once again for us.
Amen.
We have that hope in us. She was a servant of the church at Cenchrea. And Paul said, I want you to receive her in the Lord. I ask you when I come, receive me in the Lord. When you come, I receive you in the Lord. In Christ, I receive you as my brother, my sister in Christ. I don't see someone that, you may look at yourself as, somebody that's fallen short, or maybe you've not been such a big, no, listen, you are received in the Lord. That's wonderful that you're received in the Lord. Amen. That you're up as part of this church. Listen, that you were birthed in spiritually. You have as much right as anybody
to stand in the church and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. The power that worketh in us is working in you just as much as we shall let Him work in us. He will work in us. We must find a way, church, in these dark last days to keep the light burning bright. We must, in these last days, keep it to where our zeal does not become hindered. Listen, the Bible says this. He says, He warns us, you know, not to get to the place where we lose our zeal. I'm trying to think of the verse. It'll come to me here in just a moment. How that you and I, listen, we can, in well-doing, we can become weary. There it is. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. We are the reapers. Are you listening to me? The last days, church, reapers. God said, be not weary in well-doing. We go and we go and we go. Sometimes, Brother Dave, don't see anything. We need to be not weary in well-doing. It never should be a wearisome thing for you and I to do well for God. Amen? To be a servant in the church. We should never be weary in that. God commands us, don't be weary. Don't be weary. God Himself encourages us not to be weary. Amen. Not to be weary. To keep looking. To keep looking. In Acts 2, that's when the Bible said in verse 47, Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God adds to the church. In Acts 11 and 22, if you want to turn there in Acts 11 and 22, listen what God said. He said, and He was talking about there was a revival at Antioch in Syria. A real revival. The hand of the Lord, verse 21, was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You see the language that he's using there? Listen, the hand of the Lord was with them, moved upon them. A great number believed, and the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church. Listen, it is important that you and I understand what the ears of the church are. It's the things that you and I receive, the news that you and I receive. Listen, if we're constantly being berated by the devil, are you listening? If we're away from the house of God, that can happen to us. If we're constantly hearing the negative, and I'm guilty sometimes that I may God have mercy upon me. I don't ever want to get to the place where I feel like there's nothing going on around God's people or around God's house. Why? Because it comes into the ears of the church. Listen, they got news. The ears of the church body, the people, the group, heard that the hand of the Lord was moving, that people was being saved. You know what they did? Then they sent Barnabas out. Somebody was excited and stirred enough. They commissioned him to go and to see what was taking place. Oh, and when he got there, when he came and he saw what he had heard. Isn't it good that the Lord lets us sometimes see what we're hearing by faith? The grace of God was glad, exhorted them all. We need to be exhorted that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Servants of the church. with purpose. You have purpose here at Mission Hill.
Amen.
In the church. I'm not just talking about inside this room. Listen, when we all go our way tonight home, you still have purpose for this church. This group, this assembly,
amen.
This autonomous group of Baptist believers.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we are.
Amen.
I'm not trying to build up somebody else's church on another side of the county every week. Though if God led somebody my way and they got saved, listen, you win somebody the Lord, but we're winning people. We're out working and serving to build this congregation. Isn't that right? With purpose of heart. I think sometimes we lose purpose. What's my purpose, preacher? Sometimes I don't feel like I've got any purpose left. Oh, you got plenty of purpose. You've got more purpose than you realize. You're needed more than you know. Right here in this church. Every one of you that are saved, listen, you are needed more than you know.
Amen.
And you have a purpose. You say, preacher, what is it? Well, I could list off several things I know is a perfect will of God for you in the church. But then there are individual purposes. What am I doing to add to this church? What am I doing to help the furtherance of this church? What zeal do I have in doing it? And listen, when we see what we need, then God help us to pray and to ask for it. Didn't the Lord tell us to ask? Ask. If I need to find my purpose again, I know what my purpose is here as pastor. But there's more to that than just saying, I'm the pastor. There's purpose involved in that. And there's purpose in being a member, a servant of this church. You are a servant of this church with purpose.
Amen.
Needed.
Amen.
And I want to encourage you, as Paul encouraged them in Acts chapter number 11. I want to encourage you, exhort you, to do what you do with purpose and cleave to the Lord. That's the most important thing you and I could ever do in what we're doing in God's work and in God's house, is for us to cleave to the Lord together.
Right.
Cleave to one another like a husband to his wife, like a wife to her husband. Cleave to the Lord. Cleave like you absolutely do not want him to be very far from you. And he's not very far from every one of us, the Bible says.
Hey.
Amen. Peter was in prison and prayer was made without ceasing of the church for God. Was that important? Sure. The church, listen, nobody else is going to get him out of prison. No other group could do anything that could cause the power of God to move and open that prison the way the church prayed. When the church prays without ceasing, think about that. Boy, there's great purpose right there. We may not think a whole lot about prayer. Listen, but prayer's probably one of the greatest keys that you and I have as believers, as the church. It's one of the things fought the most. Every time I come on Sunday night and Wednesday night especially, the Lord always whispers in my ear, do you know how important this time of prayer is? And I don't guess I really have the answer I need to have for it. It is important that you and I pray.
Amen.
Not only at home, but together.
Amen.
They were gathered, assembled together. The assembling of the church, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. The assembling, the coming together of the church. The church comes together. They pray. They assembled themselves with the church in Acts 11:26. Those people that were called Christians first, they assembled themselves with the church. This is the group to come to. This is the group to be with.
Amen.
Any night of the week.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
It's the best group you and I can gather with.
Right.
One of your brothers and sisters in Christ is the best people you can meet going down the road.
Amen.
Amen. I'm about done. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. In 1 Corinthians 11:18, I wanted to read that. Verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Now this was Paul, he was rebuking the Corinthians. They were coming together not for the better, which that's what we're supposed to come together for the better. But they came together for the worse. He said, first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you. What we must keep out of the church. Listen, the division or the heresy, when they were come together, they brought it with them. That was dangerous. We should never bring anything contrary to the church. I should never bring ill feeling to my brothers or sisters in Christ. Never. That'll hinder us. He said, when you come together, listen, that's like Jesus saying, when you pray, it's noted that it's something that should be done, that will be done. It's a matter of how we come together. And I think a lot of, listen, our spirit, let me say this, our spirit and our mind, how we're thinking, what we're feeling about why and how we're gathering together, we should want to come and spend an hour with each other. If we dread spending time with one another, there's something wrong with me if I dread spending time with you. And again, I'm not saying there's anybody here that does. I don't believe there is. You wouldn't be here. Surely you wouldn't be here. Verse 22, he told them, he said, despise ye the church of God? Despise ye the church of God? It's the way they came. It was the way they came into the church. You read this right here. He's talking about how they come together in the church. Last one I want to read in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, and I'm done. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God to be made known by the church. Right here is where true spiritual knowledge is. Ephesians 5, 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You know what the Lord does for the church? He nourishes us and cherishes us. Now, in that chapter, he's talking about man's relationship to his wife, like Christ in the church. But he tells us exactly what Christ is doing for the church. He nourishes us and cherishes us. That's precious. It's a precious group to look at. Amen? A precious group. A called out group. Different. Different from any other assembly on the earth. God's people. Let us be truly what Christ has nourished us to be. What we're being fed to be. He feeds us. Amen. I want you to stand this evening. God bless your heart. Thank you so much for being here.